Everybody, welcome to episode 337 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. When you work with Legacy Realty, you're not just getting one of the largest and most trusted real estate agencies in Ankeny. You're partnering with over 75 expert agents who are committed to your success. Whether you're searching for your dream home or selling your property for the best possible price, we offer the right tools, strategies, and support to help get you there. As part of LPT Realty, a national leader in the real estate industry, we combine local expertise with innovative resources to give you an unbeatable advantage. Choose us for unparalleled service, proven results, and a commitment to your success in every transaction. Legacy Realty of Iowa, where real estate goals become a reality. All right, well, we've got a special Sunday edition of the Ankeny Fanatic podcast for you today to preview. A big week of postseason hoops ahead. In a little while, I'll be joined by both the Ankeny and Ankeny Centennial head coaches as we preview this week's Girls Class 5A state tournament. But right now, my first guest is the head coach of the Ankeny squad, Ankeny boys squad. We're going to talk some boys hoops. He's guided the Hawks to a 12-10 record, and his team opened sub-state play on Friday with a 72-36 victory over three-time defending Class 4A state champion Valley in the semifinal round. He is Brant Carlson. Coach, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Doing well. Thanks again for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, congratulations on Friday's win. You guys defeated Valley for the third time this season. I'm sure you had learned some things from the first two meetings against the Tigers. In the season opener, your team actually trailed in the third quarter on your home court before you rallied for a 58-52 victory. And then in the rematch on January 16th at Valley, you guys jumped out to a 26-7 lead in the first quarter and pretty much cruised to a 72-54 win. Now, I'm sure you were hoping to get off to another good start, but I don't imagine you envisioned your team jumping out to a 32 lead. You didn't give up a basket in the first 12 minutes of the game. I mean, you couldn't have asked for a better start.
It was a great start, and no, you don't plan for that, but I think at the end of the day, you're trying to get guys to kind of throw the regular season out from the standpoint of who these teams are and understand it's a different season. And I was proud of the guys just coming to work in the sense of really being intent on the job they needed to do. And defensive effort was great, and just things worked well for sure.
Well, nobody had a bigger game than your senior guard, Rio Aguirre. He recorded a rare triple-double with 23 points, 10 rebounds, and 10 assists. He went 4-7 from three-point range, including a shot from just inside the half-court line to beat the buzzer at the end of the first quarter. And I don't know if he's had a triple-double before, but I'm not sure if he's had a better all-around game in his career. You know, do you?
No, it was good. He was moving right off the ball, too. And, you know, they ran right kind of triangle and two for a majority of that middle of the game. It was good for us to learn how to endure that, and he was very unselfish during that time. A lot of assists came in, so it's like, well, you know, he's learning as far as like becoming a great player. You got to be able to do a lot of things well in the big moments, and it's really fun to watch.
We guys also got 11 points and 16 minutes off the bench from Carson Bright, and another senior reserve, Kel Roush, went 2-5 from behind the arc, and he had 8 points in his 12 minutes of action. You know, you've got to really like that bench production, and it just seems like all of those seniors are on a mission to keep playing as long as they possibly can.
It feels that way. You know, we've played 11 guys this year at given times in different games and brought in different opportunities for our players, so really proud of them. It's not an easy thing to sit, you know, and watch, but then if you're ready for your moment, I feel guys have done a good job, and that's a sign of a good team. I think ultimately older guys don't want their season to end, and underclassmen are playing for them. So that's kind of what I feel we have going right now.
Well, now your team faces a huge challenge in having to go to third-ranked Waukee Northwest on Tuesday for the sub-state final. You guys are obviously very familiar with the Wolves, who tied with the Waukee for the CIML conference title during the regular season. Northwest advanced with a 101-58 win over Iowa City Liberty, and the Wolves were led by Nebraska recruit Colin Rice. All he did was set a school record by pouring in 50 points. He went 19 of 24 from the field, including 5 of 8 from deep. Now, when a guy is that hot, I'm not sure you can do anything to stop him, but you almost have to hope that, you know, he got his career night out of his system, and maybe he'll regress back to his normal percentages.
Yeah, you hope so. He's a good player. I watched that film, and he was all of that 50, that's for sure. So now he's really, really good, and their team's very good and very seasoned group. And, you know, over the years, we've had a lot of run-ins with Waukee and the city of Waukee, it seems like, and now Northwest. So it's just an opportunity for us.
Well, even on a normal night, Rice is pretty good for the season. He's averaging 22 points a game on 53% shooting, and he's shooting 42% from deep. But you guys have actually defended him really well this season. In the Wolves' 64-45 win at Ankeny on January 9th, Rice went 3 of 14 from the field, and he scored just 10 points. But on that night, the Wolves got 26 points from their sophomore guard, Nash Kukin, who averages just under 10 a game. And then in the Wolves' 58-49 win on February 10th, Rice again was limited to 14 points on 4 of 8 shooting. But in that game, game. The Wolves got 19 points and 10 rebounds from Landon Davis, who is their other Division I recruit. He's headed to Illinois. So it's really been some of the other guys who've hurt you the most.
They have a really good team. You know, that's the hard part. They have two nice players off the bench to play as well that are impressive. So, you know, I think I said last time on the podcast, you got to pick your poison with those guys and ride with it. So it'll be a fun challenge to kind of come up with a plan. You know, I think our guys are looking forward to it. There's a couple different ways we can go at it. But at the same time, you know, the last game, I felt like we had three turnovers in a row, last four possessions. And it was a 4-point game, you know. So I think we've learned from that. But again, I already said earlier, you can't take a regular season game into a postseason matchup. But the bottom line is you can say, hey, we learned something there. So I'm looking forward to going at it on Tuesday.
Yeah, in that last game at Northwest, you guys trailed by just 41-39 going into the fourth quarter before the Wolves outscored you 17-10 in the final period. You know, you have to feel good about the way you competed in that game. And if you can be within two going into the fourth quarter again, you'd probably take that right now.
Absolutely. At the end of the day, I think it's just going to be a possession-by-possession game. We can't get too high or too low, and I think you got to play all 32 minutes and maybe beyond. It's just, you know, you can't predict all that stuff, but I think these guys are looking forward to the challenge, and they're not afraid. I think that's a good thing, and a high level of respect for Joaquin Northwest and all their players and coaches, and, you know, it's a fun time of year.
And you guys played that last game without Vasani Campbell, your second leading scorer. That was one of the two games that he missed after spraining his ankle at Dowling Catholic 4 days earlier. But your team got a big lift that night from senior guard Caden Clark, who scored a season-high 14 points. Your 7'1" senior center, Max Allison, also had one of his best games of the season. He scored 10 points on 5 of 6 shooting and grabbed 8 rebounds in 21 minutes of action. Now, I know there are some opponents that you've played where maybe Max isn't the best matchup for them, but, you know, with his size and his ability to impact the game inside the paint against guys like Rice and Davis, you know, he's probably going to have to be a key guy for you on Tuesday, isn't he?
There's no doubt about that. I think Landon Hutchins played well last time, too. And, man, we had a lot of guys in that game step up if I think back on that. You know, I think, again, going back to our team success, I think it's just been a lot of different guys being able to step up and help us. And I think that's a really cool thing. And it'll take all of us this next time as well.
Now, the Wolves have obviously done a good job defensively to hold you guys under 50 points in both meetings. They limited Rio to 13 points on 5 of 12 shooting in the first game and then held him to 11 on 5 of 14 shooting in the rematch. Now, I saw the first game, and I'm trying to remember if they did anything in particular to try to stop him. Have they primarily used, you know, like a bigger guy like Rice to defend him?
Every time. You know, that's how they've done it. And I think they've got that mindset that they'll even sacrifice Rice's points to stop Rio and see what the rest of our guys can do. So what a great opportunity for our team, you know, just to come together and see what we can do. I mean, that's exciting for me. I mean, you talk about, you know, there's nothing to lose, I guess. I think there's a lot to lose, but at the end of the day, I think it's just really fun. You know, what a great opportunity and memory we can create. And I think our guys are ready for it. I mean, I know I am, and nothing more I can say other than just let's do it.
Well, you told me the other night that you guys have had some success at Northwest at times in the past. And I do remember that game from the 23-24 season where your team went over to Northwest and posted an 84-76 win. Rio was a sophomore on that team, and he scored 14 points that night to provide some support for Carson Johnson, who really went off. He was 8 of 9 from behind the arc and poured in 40 points. You know, so maybe this will be a night that Rio or somebody else goes off like Carson did.
Has to. Someone's got to do it. To beat the best teams, obviously, you just have to be playing very well. I feel like we're playing as good as we have played, and I think all of our players are locked in and not living in selfish mentalities, just living in team focus, and, you know, that's what you ask for, and we always want to play in March here in Ankeny, and we have a chance to do that.
Well, we know at least one CIML team is going to qualify for state, and, of course, both Dowling and Waukee will be playing at home in their sub-state finals, and they would have to be considered favorites to win. Two other CIML teams will be going on the road Tuesday as Urbandale goes to Ames, and that's a place where they've won before, and Johnston travels to Des Moines Roosevelt. You know, so we could have as many as 5 CIML teams qualify for state, and that probably wouldn't surprise you, would it?
Would not, and we hope we get that. You know, I think it's a representative of our conference and just, again, coaches and quality players that we have here. Yeah, so no disrespect to our state at all, but I think just right now Central Iowa's got the bulk of the talent and the bulk of the success. So it's you know, a lot of people like to complain about Tournament Road and the favoritism of the east side of the state and all that. I don't get into that as much. I just feel like at the end of the day, you take your advantage that you have and go for it, and I'm sure all of our teams will do that.
Well, it should be a fun game on Tuesday night. I'm looking forward to that after I cover the two girls games tomorrow. But hey, Brent, we'll see you over there on Tuesday night, and good luck.
Thanks, Dan.
You bet. Listen to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. Revive opened in 2017 and is located on the south side of Ankeny near Hy-Vee. They provide top-tier aesthetic procedures as well as dermatology. You can usually get a dermatology appointment the same day. Revive offers Botox, fillers, lasers, medical-grade skincare, weight loss injections, and cool sculpting. Revive loves Ankeny and is very supportive of this community. You can give them a call at 515-965-5677. All right, my next guest is the head coach in his first season of the 12th-ranked Ankeny Centennial girls basketball team, and he has guided the Jaguars to a 12-11 record. His team advanced to the state tournament for the sixth consecutive year with a 40-35 victory at number 4 Cedar Falls in a Class 5A regional final on Tuesday. He is Chris Harkin. Coach, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Good. Happy to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, you bet. Well, congratulations on the win at Cedar Falls. You guys pulled off the biggest upset of all the regional finals in Class 5A, but I know not everybody was surprised by your victory. When the pairings came out, Ankeny coach Nate Toby told me, you know, don't be surprised if the Jags beat Cedar Falls. And I know you had confidence in your girls as well, you know, didn't you? Just because of the way you guys had improved throughout the season.
Yeah, I think it started off with the girls, first of all. And, you know, the first couple games of the season we kind of talked about earlier, where we're facing three highly ranked teams, all of them at state right now. And so I think that just kind of built us that momentum and, you know, weathering the storms and having that inexperience progress throughout the season where we became a better team. And so when we sat down as a CIML conference and the pairings were already out, even Valley's coach and Nate both said like, oh yeah, that's a great matchup for you. And they're predicting a score of like 33-30. So it's pretty close to that, but they were anticipating a close defensive matchup, close game. So, you know, our girls did a really good job preparing for that game and showing what they were capable of this season.
Well, I don't want to dwell too much on that game because I know you're completely focused on your next game and you certainly have a big challenge ahead of you. We're going to talk about that here in a few minutes. But I did want to mention that Lizzie Beam took over that game down the stretch. She scored 11 of her 19 points in the fourth quarter. She finished with a double-double along with Rylan Boating, who had 13 points and 10 rebounds. You know, those two girls have really been outstanding all year, haven't they?
Yeah, they have been. And they've been really great leaders. And having just their experience, maybe not so much on the playing court, but being part of a varsity team for, you know, Lizzie now 3 years and Ryland 4 have just been very crucial for us, even though they haven't seen a whole lot of playing time varsity wise. I just think waiting their time and waiting under the tutelage of, you know, some pretty great players last year where they were able to step into that role this year. And it took them a little bit of time to develop that. But I think once they realized who they were and what they're capable of, it really helped us out.
Well, now your team enters the state tournament as the number 8 seed, and the reward that you get for that is a matchup against number 1 Johnston in the quarterfinals on Monday at 10 a.m. at the Casey Center. The Dragons, of course, are the 2-time defending state champs, and they extended their winning streak to 76 games with a 91-53 win over Indianola on Tuesday. They're looking to complete a third consecutive undefeated season, and they've only had 4 games all year decided by fewer than 10 points. So I guess the good thing, Coach, is that your team won't be feeling, you know, any pressure going into this game, because I don't imagine too many people expect you to win.
No, there's definitely not too many people at all. And you know, it's for the girls, I think they knew and know going into tomorrow that it's a big mountain to climb, but I think they're prepared to give it the best effort. And you know, practices this past week have been really good and their momentum and energy have been very high in that mindset, and I think they feel the same way where they have nothing to lose and they already they feel like they've proved themselves to the state and to, you know, just themselves. And now it's going out there and continuing that progress and hopefully some success on the court tomorrow.
Well, in your previous years of coaching, like at Des Moines Christian, have you ever been in a situation like this at state where you're playing a team that's just that good that, you know, that's kind of what you're facing going in?
I think our first year when we had to play Solon in the semifinals, they had, I'm going to butcher her name, but Callie Levin, I think she plays at Iowa now.
Oh, okay.
They were a very good squad and we knew they were going to be a very good defensive one. And so, not quarterfinals necessarily, but I knew when we had to play them, and then we had to play, if we would have won that, play Mount Vernon with Meester and all them, it would have been an uphill battle. And even last year, very similar situation, but not as, you know, I had some returning varsity starters and, you know, starting the season unranked and then getting to state, playing a really good Williamsburg team that first round. We kind of got upset, I feel like, but Williamsburg brought their game and they got to the semifinals and competed. And I think they're back at state this year too. So they're showing their growth and wish them all the best. So I think this year has definitely been more of that challenge of like showing that growth and improvement, and definitely not to this caliber of a team, obviously, that we have for an opponent.
Well, even if your girls don't feel any pressure, you know, there could be some anxiety, of course, about playing on the big stage. I believe that Lizzie, Rylan, and Maisie Smith are your only girls who have played on that court before. Yeah. So is there anything that you know, you've done this week or that you could do to prepare the girls for playing in that bigger arena?
I feel like I got to quote a lot of movies, Tony. I'm probably going to do that today. But like going to Hoosiers where, you know, you go out there, get tape measure, measure the height of the hoop, measure the length of the free throw line, just stuff like that. You know, it's like just keep telling them, you know, it's another game. It's a different atmosphere. And I think a lot of them have played AAU quite a bit. So they've been in different venues where, you know, you don't have so many bleachers around, but you have so much space. Mm-hmm. And that's really just the main thing. I talked to them this week past practices where the backdrop of the basket is going to be different. Everything else is exactly the same. So hopefully they come in tomorrow and not feel, I want them to be excited to be there, but at the same time too, it's like, let's get to business and get on the court. Just another basketball court, same distance, a little bit, maybe a little bit further, but 3-point line is the same spot. Everything else is the same.
Well, I'm sure you've rewatched your two games against Johnston to see what things you did that were successful against them. In the first game at Johnston on January 9th, you guys scored 21 points in the first quarter, but you still trailed by 11 at the end of the period because the Dragons were just on fire. They went on to post an 87-53 victory behind their McDonald's All-American, Jenica Lewis, who went 9 of 13 from 3-point range and scored 33 points. You know, when she plays like that, I'm not sure you can really stop her.
No, she's very challenging just to slow down in general. So we're kind of hoping that she doesn't get as hot a hand this time. And I think she went 9 for 12 behind the 3-point line that game, I believe. And so it's kind of hard to guard someone. Even, you know, we called it Caitlin Clark distance, where, you know, she's hitting those and just it's smooth shot, goes in, no rim. And we just, the best we can do is compete against that. And, you know, we're kind of hoping the same thing, maybe push her off the 3-point line a little bit. So take a little bit less damage. She has to score inside the paint maybe or jump shots. But it's definitely going to be a challenge, and she's surrounded by very good athletes as well. So if we even slow her down, we've got to make sure we kind of contain the others, and that's going to be a very difficult challenge.
Well, then in the rematch on February 10th at Centennial, you guys came out really strong defensively and managed to slow the game down in that first quarter, which ended with Johnston leading by just 8-6. But then the Dragons went on a big run in the second quarter to build a 36-15 halftime lead, and then you guys were playing from behind the rest of the way. Johnston went on to win that one 72-32. Lewis finished with 26 points in that one, and the Dragons held you guys to just 35% shooting. You were 1 of 17 from behind the arc. So even though Johnston is obviously a potent offensive team, you know, this is also a squad that can really shut you down defensively.
Yeah, and they changed gears that second quarter, which really opened up the spread a little bit, and they went to a 2-3 zone, kind of a half-court trapping one, and we weren't ready for that. We weren't prepared for it, to be honest. And when they started doing that, they were able to get deflection steals and kind of just opened up that lead quite a bit. And, you know, that kind of frustrated us a little bit because, you know, you kind of look around the CIML and a few teams will throw zone here and there, but when you throw zone, but then also with that caliber of athlete, it makes it feel more claustrophobic on the court. So we've been practicing that a lot this week, getting ready for that. And hopefully if and when they throw that at us, that we're more prepared this time.
So when you play a team like Johnson, you know, that is so explosive offensively, you know, you probably don't want to get into a track meet with them because you're probably not going to outscore a team like that that has, you know, so many different weapons. You know, I'm guessing that a lot of teams have tried to slow the game down against them, but, you know, by being patient on offense, but the risk that you run there is that you might eventually turn it over or you could be forced to take a bad shot, you know, with the shot clock winding down. So do you kind of have to balance those two things? You know, you want to be patient, but you also have to take a good shot when it's there.
Definitely. And one thing that we noticed watching our film against Johnson is, when we get down to the shot clock less than 10 seconds, they really tighten up their defense and you see a lot more pressure on them and then our face is forcing us to do those bad shots. So we've been practicing drills where I only give them 10 seconds to shoot, and it's usually just 3-on-3 stuff. It's not usually 5-on-5, but we've been trying to focus on that mentality where you got to get a shot off before the 5-second mark. Otherwise, you're not going to get a good look against this defense.
Well, when I talked to some of the girls after the game on Tuesday, I asked them about the prospect of playing Johnston again, because it did seem like that was the most likely outcome. And they all seemed to be fired up about it. Have you sensed over the last few days while preparing for this game that your girls are going into it without any fear?
Yeah, I do. And I really appreciate that. And, you know, it's the whole David versus Goliath kind of concept that we've been subtly kind of preaching a little bit, where we have nothing to lose going into this game tomorrow. And, you know, if we can we can surprise them and keep it close, you know, that's kind of a moral victory in itself. But ultimately, yeah, we would love to win and continue to have our season progress and get to the semifinals. So we've been doing everything we can. And I think having these girls play loose and with a little bit of confidence, I think, is our best opportunity.
Well, Coach, if you guys could somehow pull off a win, I'll try to talk here, you know, it'd probably be the biggest upset in the history of the state tournament. And that would be a fun story to cover. So I'm looking forward to the game tomorrow. Good luck, and I'll see you down there.
All right, appreciate it. Thank you.
You bet. All right, well, my final guest today is the head coach of the 6th-ranked Ankeny girls team, and he has guided the Hawkettes to a 15-8 record. His team advanced to the state tournament for the first time since 2013 with a 60-30 win over number 11 Sioux City East in a regional final on Tuesday. He's Nate Toby. Coach, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, congratulations on making it to state. I know you've only been the head coach for 3 seasons now, but your first 2 teams had lost in regional finals that went right down to the wire. And this program has obviously had a long state tournament drought since before the split into 2 high schools. So I'm sure you felt the pressure of that drought, even though you haven't been here that long. So did it feel like a weight was lifted off of, you know, all of your shoulders with that win?
Yeah, definitely. And that's what we've been preparing for and really working hard for going back to last off season. And, I think it's nice to have a senior-led group that understands what's at stake and feels like they are in control of things once we take care of business in the regular season, and that was our goal. So they just saw the big picture so well and understood what we needed to do all off-season going into the regular season in order to give ourselves the best chance of advancing to the state tournament for the first time.
Well, I was covering the Centennial game up at Cedar Falls that night, so I didn't see it. But I know you guys overcame an early 5-0 deficit to take the lead, and then you had a huge second quarter to build a 35-13 advantage at halftime. You know, it had to feel good to kind of put the game away early and not have to sweat it out at the end, because even though I'm sure you felt like this team, you know, would have been prepared to handle a close game down the stretch, you know, it had to be nice not to have to worry about it.
Definitely. And these regional final games are extremely stressful, and we saw that in the first couple of minutes, just trying to get over nerves as quickly as possible. And thankfully, our girls got into the flow and did that, and it wasn't too stressful at the end when we were able to get all of our players in.
Well, your senior guard, Jayla Williams, led the way like she has all season. She finished with 23 points, 7 rebounds, and 6 assists. Jayla hit some free throws in the fourth quarter to break the school's single-season scoring record of 484 points that was set by Erica Juno in the 1998-99 season. She's now 11 points away from tying the school's career scoring mark of 1392 that was set by Nikki Wieben from 2002 to 05. And since Jayla is among the leading scorers in Class 5A at 21 points a game, and she's now scored in double figures in 30 straight games dating back to last season, you know, it's pretty likely that she'll reach that mark during your game at the state tournament tomorrow. I know you haven't been around Ankeny as long as I have, but you know, you told my reporter Steven the other night that Jayla's the best of all time here at Ankeny. You know, she just impacts the game in so many ways, doesn't she?
Yeah, she is, and I definitely have not been around as long as you, and don't have a great historical context for girls that came before me when I was with the boys program, but she has been so impactful and has made her mark in Ankeny's history for sure, and impacting the game on both ends and with leadership, and we just greatly appreciate having her on our side, and you know, trying to recognize those historical markers too for her has been fun.
Well, Jayla told me for the Prep of the Week feature that I'll be publishing in the morning that she doesn't know much about anything about Nikki's career, but that she heard that she was a great player. Now, I am old enough to have been around to cover those teams when both Nikki and Erica were stars at Ankeny, and they both went on to have outstanding careers at Iowa State. Jayla, of course, has committed to play at Creighton, and it'll be fun to watch her play at the next level as well. You know, you'd have to think with her athleticism and her versatility that, you know, she'll be able to make a pretty big impact right away over there, don't you think?
I believe so, yeah. And they have a young team that'll be really exciting in the next couple of years, and great coaching staff that is focused on developing the players they have, unless on the transfer portal. So I think she'll get a great chance to develop alongside some other great players, a couple of which she's played AAU with, and then Ava Zediker from Dowling. They'll have a great young core and be really successful in the next few years.
Well, Coach, before we look ahead to your next opponent, you did tell me when the regional pairings came out that you wouldn't be surprised if Ankeny Centennial went up to Cedar Falls and beat the Tigers. So you kind of called that upset. And Coach Harkin told me that he had a couple other coaches that tell him that as well. You know, had you seen something from playing both of those teams that led you to believe that maybe the gap between the number 4 and number 12 teams maybe wasn't as big as some people thought?
Yeah, I definitely didn't think so. Cedar Falls is a really good team. I just think the difference in that game was having a CIML level schedule for 16 games just prepares you in a way that some of the other conferences, even though they're really strong, It's just not quite the grind that Centennial had this season or that we had. And that just does so much to prepare you for the regional final game, in my opinion.
Well, the outcome did have an effect on your state tournament pairings. Of course, had Cedar Falls won, the Tigers would have been matched up against Cedar Rapids Washington in the 4-5 matchup, and you guys would have dropped to the number 6 seed, and that would have paired you up in the quarterfinals against number 3 Waukee Northwest, a team that defeated you twice this season by an average of 28 points. And I know Washington is still going to be a huge challenge for you guys, but I got to believe that you were happy to avoid Northwest in that first game, huh?
Yeah, I think just avoiding a CIML team in general, especially a team as talented as Northwest and as familiar with us as Northwest. And I know Washington has had time to review our tape and learn about us too. And that'll be a big hurdle to overcome with a really talented Washington team. But it is nice to play somebody new down there and somebody that, you know, you feel like you can match up against. But I would have been fine playing Northwest too. It's just such a treat to get to go down there and be a part of it in general.
Well, now you guys do get to play number 5 Washington at 11:45 a.m. tomorrow in what could be the best matchup of the quarterfinals. The Warriors are also making their first state tournament appearance since 2013 when they lost to Ankeny in the quarterfinals 66-58. Washington earned its trip to Des Moines with a 69-59 win over Cedar Rapids Prairie. They got 22 points in that game from senior guard Samantha Becker and junior forward Sarah Dumbia, while they avenged a loss from 2 weeks earlier. Now, you guys haven't had too many common opponents with Washington, but both teams did win close games at Cedar Falls this season. The Warriors also played two other CIML opponents early on. They lost to Northwest by a similar margin that you guys did. They also dropped the decision to Valley, a team that you defeated twice by double digits. Of course, many of those games were so early in the year, I'm not sure you can take too much away from them. But anyway, what challenges is this team going to present for you?
Well, they're really well coached and they play really hard. They play really strong pressure defense out on the perimeter like a lot of CIML teams do. And then they have a big Dumbia inside that, when you do get past that pressure can affect things at the rim on both ends of the floor. And she's gotten better and better as the season's gone on. I watched her against Valley and just their team in general has really improved. And getting their point guard Samantha Becker back in the lineup after the first couple of games has been huge for them. And they've just improved, especially defensively, I would say, over the course of the season.
Well, Dumbia is a 6'4" presence in the post who averages 16 points and 10 rebounds. And I don't know if you've played against anyone that tall this season. Dowling's Ellie Muller is 6'3", so she's almost as tall, but I don't know that they're similar players. Ellie relies as much on her athleticism as she does on her height, I think. Mm-hmm. And I saw a brief clip of Washington, and Dumbia, maybe is more of a post player, kind of like an Audie Crooks type, mm-hmm. where she relies on her size and strength. Is that maybe a comparison?
Yeah, she plays in the perimeter a little bit and can drive from the high post and operate parts of their offense. She's a good passer and is left-handed, so that poses a unique challenge for our girls just to remember that and make sure we get her going to the right side. So she's really talented, she's really improved, really hungry, plays hard, and yeah, it's nice to have that experience against Ellie Muller, but they are pretty different players.
Well, she will certainly present some challenges for you. And Becker is also a talented player who averages 15 points and 3 steals a game. She's tied with Centennial's Lizzie Beam for 4th in Class 5A with 97 free throws made. So she clearly knows how to get to the free throw line. As a team, the Warriors are shooting just 25% or so from 3-point range, but they do take a little more than a third of their shots from behind the arc. I'm sure you don't want to give up any wide open 3-pointers, but is this a team that you'd like to keep out of the paint and off the free throw line?
Yeah, it is a little different than last game with Sioux City East being very reliant on the 3-point line. So that's been an adjustment over the last few days, but it's been nice to have some time to look at how we're covering different things and making sure we're taking away the right things from them. They can still shoot. I think their percentage has been pretty high over the last couple of weeks. Most of their players from 3, we just can't give them any easy ones. And then we still have to do whatever we can to take away Dumbia inside as well.
Well, your team did play at the Casey Center back on February 7th when you posted a 50-40 win over Urbandale. How much do you think your girls will benefit from having played a game there?
Yeah, that was recent, and I think that was helpful based on what they said. And it's just nice to have that experience from a shooting standpoint, from a preparation standpoint. I think that'll be a good thing for them, certainly overall.
Well, Coach, I know you haven't looked beyond tomorrow's game, but by the time you take the court, you will know the outcome of the first game between Johnston and Ankeny Centennial. I'm not going to say that the Jaguars have no chance to win, but it would take a huge upset for them to advance. Now, your team was within single digits of the Dragons in both of your meetings against them at halftime, this season. If you are fortunate enough to win tomorrow, I'm sure your girls would love to have another shot at them.
Yeah, and I wouldn't count Centennial out of that first game. Like I said, they've been battle-tested all year. They're really well coached. They play really hard. Johnston is just so talented, and you just can't give them the big runs. But I know Harkin and his girls will do whatever they can to be in that game for as long as they can. And yeah, we'll take a look at Johnson, hopefully, if we advance past tomorrow. But I think there's pieces that I've liked that we've done in the first two games that we can take from. But it will be very nice to have a couple days to prepare for that, if that's the case.
Well, it should be a fun day tomorrow. I'm certainly looking forward to it. I'll see you down there, Coach. Good luck. And yeah, we'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. Whether you're buying or selling, choosing the right real estate agent is key. With Legacy Realty, you work with a dedicated agent from our team of 75-plus professionals who know the Ankeny market like the back of their hand. Our agents provide personalized service to meet your unique needs and goals, ensuring your real estate journey is smooth and successful. As one of the largest brokerages in the area, we leverage the latest tools, resources, and marketing strategies backed by the power of LPT Realty to give you the edge in today's competitive market. At Legacy Realty, it's not just about a transaction, it's about building your legacy. Well, I want to thank my guests again for coming in today on this busy Sunday. We had Ankeny boys basketball coach Brant Carlson, followed by the girls basketball coaches Chris Harkin of Ankeny Centennial and Nate Toby of Ankeny. I appreciate the time from all of those gentlemen here as they're preparing for their games here in the next couple of days. It should be a fun week. And come back the following week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.